Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Why are they the ultimate? Well, one of the reasons is because they're going to help you with ICD-10, the transition to the new codes. You need to know it, and you probably don't know it as well as you should. Check them out at www.webpt.com/podcast to find out more about ICD-10 for a free demo and a lot more. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. I am Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrad here with Dr. Joe Palmer. No Urson Religioso today, but at least I have one of the three. Joe, how you doing today?
Doing well, Gene. How are you?
Doing all right. I'm doing all right. We've got a lot of stuff going on at UpDoc Media, Joe. A lot of cool things, a lot of stuff in the works that not quite ready to announce yet, but we'll be announcing soon. You already heard one big announcement from the last podcast, which is that we're starting some continuing ed courses, calling it the Garage Series. So make sure to check out our site, updocmedia.com, if you want to sign up for the first two courses. First one being Urson's The Eclectic Approach, and the second one being Blood Flow Restriction Training with Johnny Owens. Pretty cool stuff. Joe, how's the clinic going?
It's going well. I'm glad to see you're keeping yourself busy and out of trouble.
Well, one of the two, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard you get in too much trouble, so I'm excited about the courses.
I got people to cover that stuff up. I got people for
well,
that.
Good.
So well, good.
As long as you have people.
So we got these courses going, which we're pretty excited about. But, you know, we're also excited about kind of integration of tech into what we're building. And, you know, one tech is, I think, very important, and it's critical for growth in a lot of industries aside from Silicon Valley and computers and kind of traditional tech that we think of. Tech is integral for your business, which is physical therapy and being a clinic owner. You have to use EMR and you use WebPT. Shout out to our sponsors. But there's other things. There's other things that can make the life of a business owner easier, the customer experience easier and smoother, right?
Absolutely.
And there haven't been a ton. There have been a lot. There's a lot of companies that do it, but I can't think of too many that do it well, at least not off the top of my head. I mean, if you know some companies that you love that help with Therex or customer experience, customer integration, just making things easier for you, please let us know. Shout out on Twitter at Therapy Insiders, at Joe DPT, or at the OMPT, or at UpDoc Media. Got all that enough Twitter handles for you. But I think there's something really cool in the works now, and it's going to be integrating with EMRs like WebPT. And I'd like to hear more about it. What about you?
I'd love to hear more. Let's get to it. Who do we have on tonight?
All right. So on tonight is somebody that is actually trying to bring that together. That's combining the expertise of a physical therapist with the know-how of technology and integrating it to make lives easier. How? I'm not quite sure. We're gonna really ask him that. But our guest is Ryan Claps from Strive Labs. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really good, Gene. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, was I on the right track here, introducing the kind of integration of tech with the life of a business owner and just making life easier through integration of the customer experience?
Yeah, I think you were sort of right on. With sort of what we do. I'm one of the co-founders of Strive Labs Incorporated. And what we do is we build customer relationship management software in physical therapy. So like you were saying, in terms of the customer experience, the patient experience in PT, what we've done is we've developed software that kind of hits all those different touch points everywhere that a patient interacts with their physical therapy clinic, from their prior to their initial evaluation, all the way through, you know, a year or 2 years after discharge. We have software that sort of affects that process, measures it, and allows clinics to use the data to grow.
So let's backtrack a little bit, and all that sounds awesome. I think anything that can make the continuation of care smoother and easier for clinicians and patients or customers is fantastic, and I think it's very, very much needed. But I'm actually interested in your story about, you know, what made you want to integrate these things together, because you're a physical therapist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you go to school for all these years, you pay a lot of money for student loans, and you practice for, let's say, a few years, and you go, you know what? I think I'm going to stop and develop a software instead. What is the underlying thought process behind that drives you to do something like that?
So it actually started while we were still in physical therapy school. Both Scott Hebert, who's one of the co-founders, he's our current CEO, and I were getting our DPTs. And really, Scott kind of came to me and was talking about how frustrated he was with the tools that he had to connect with his patients. And I kind of shared in his frustration. So we spun it up first as a capstone project, just looking at patient engagement in physical therapy and whether or not a digital therapeutic can affect that, can affect engagement, right? And from that capstone project, we pooled some money together and convinced somebody who knew how to build some software to throw together what we thought would be a solution to that, which was a simple home exercise prescription tool with a patient portal on the back end that patients can log into and connect with their therapist in a kind of meaningful way. And since then, we've just really put our heads down and tried to understand the patient experience in physical therapy. And just as importantly, tried to understand the problems that a physical therapy clinic owner has in terms of, you know, patient retention and those sorts of things, and tie it all together to kind of tackle that problem in a meaningful way.
And so you go through this and you start building essentially from bootstrap, right? You get some money together, but, and for those of you listening that don't know what bootstrapping is, means you use as little funds and resources as possible to create something as you grow. Sounds like that's kind of what you did. You had this idea to make life easier, which is a pain point. We talked a little bit about that with Heidi Janengo in a previous podcast. So you found a pain point in the physical therapy community because you work as a physical therapist. And so you start building this portal, and you're building it. And how did it go once you built that? Did you run into any issues? What did you run into as a budding entrepreneur?
Yeah, it sucked. It was terrible, right? Because we built a minimum viable product, and we convinced some of our professors to utilize that product. And what we found was that patients, we had a really bad onboarding mechanism to get patients, you know, their exercise program, to get them to actually log into the patient portal and access it, right? We were getting about 5% of people to log on, which is God awful. But in terms of patient portals, it's really not that bad. That's about, you know, what you end up getting. So yeah, it was not easy.
What was that number again? What's the percentage of people log in?
5%. So patient portals by and large have been a complete failure in healthcare, right? Meaningful use, you know how everyone talks about meaningful use. They had to decrease the amount of patient engagement that kind of lets a clinic meet meaningful use standards in half, because no patient portal can consistently get patients, you know, more than 5% to log in. And that's sort of at the health systems level. But what we've done is really put our heads down. And again, the more you can understand how to do things and iterate on your processes based on the data that you have, you can build a system that works. And at this point, we're getting over 50% of our patients to log in, access throughout the care process. So just kind of, you know, as you iterate through something, you can kind of figure it out. And that's what we've done.
That's pretty cool.
So
So, Ryan, you're still using a patient portal. You just have found better ways to engage the patients to use the portal?
Correctly. Yeah, that's exactly it.
How? Okay.
So I think there's lots of different things, right? I mean, one is you have to, and it's counterintuitive, but the first is you have to understand the clinician's workflow, right? So for us, one of the big things is we can automatically send a patient an email that gives them the information and makes it really easy for them to log in. The only way that we could send that email is if we had the patient's email address. So what we found was physical therapists in the heat of the moment said, I don't have time to type in this email address. It's sitting in the EMR. It's not readily available. So really, they were just printing out the pieces of paper and giving it to the patient, and the patients weren't logging in. So what we did was we hacked together a solution that allowed us to integrate with EMRs and take the data from the EMR, get it into the system. That way, the patient's email is sitting there waiting for the patient, right? When their HEP is created, so we can send that email and say, hey, listen, we created this program for you. It's going to allow you to communicate with your patient or with your therapist between visits. Click here to get started. They click and they have access, right? So making it really easy for the patient. Also, we have a whole system on the back end that can prime the patient, right? If that patient is coming into therapy on a Tuesday, we can make sure on a Sunday, 3 days before their evaluation or 2 days before, they're receiving some communication that says, hey, you're coming in 2 days. Here's what you should expect with care. Be on the lookout for access to this cool online tool. And then we can hit them a day or two after as well. Just really staying on top of patients and letting them know the benefits rather than the features of logging in.
So you work it up to 50% engagement, and you said you and your business partner are both PT. So it sounds like you've progressed to a higher level software integration. Did you hire a software developer? Did you bring in another partner? How's that progression in your business?
So yep, there's three co-founders. Obviously, Scott and I, we needed to fill some of our weaknesses, which was on the technical side. So. We did bring on a CTO who has like 20 years of technical experience in healthcare. And then Scott, who is one of the few people who can actually do this, he taught himself how to do front-end design and development. So he helps us out with some of that stuff. And then we have a junior developer on staff as well.
Very cool. So what would you say have been the most challenging parts of developing and building a startup, because that's what you have. You have a tech startup in the physical therapy niche. What would you say if you had to name top three challenges of being an entrepreneur in the healthcare world, what would you say they were?
I would say one of the first is, I think healthcare in general is slow to adopt technology, right? So even EMRs, right? It took a long time for EMRs to catch on when it was just a fundamental need in the market. But healthcare technically, you know, is usually 5 years behind the general trends. And I think physical therapy is even 5 years behind healthcare. So coming in with tech software and trying to induce early adoption would probably be the number one thing. The number two thing is truly building. It's easy to build software. It's really hard to understand issues and tackle a problem. So really staying focused on understanding what the problem is and really dedicating all of our resources towards understanding a problem and building a solution for that problem. It really is truly an iterative process that never stops. So even when you're ready to go out and go into scale up mode and sell to a bunch of people, you're also, you know, iterating on the software over and over. So there's no real easy way to scale up. I would say is the other big one for me.
So what's next for you guys?
So next for us, right now we are really kind of in growth mode. We have some really good integrations with electronic medical records, and we've been bringing on a lot of customers, and it's really kind of, that's our next stage is scaling up.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual product.
Cool.
So what's the product name? What's the company called?
So the company is Strive Labs Incorporated, and the software is Strive Hub.
And so I assume you guys are HIPAA compliant?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, fully HIPAA compliant all the way through.
Talk to me about some of the things that set your product apart from, say, would you consider Infusionsoft a competitor?
Sure, yeah. I think that any physical therapy clinic who's thinking ahead on patient communication, patient acquisition, and patient retention, right, which are really keys that we focus in on. People who are thinking ahead in that respect are using things like Infusionsoft and things like Constant Contact, and also, you know, just really high quality communication tools from therapist to provider. So I would say the big kind of differentiator between us is that we are niched down a ton, and we understand in physical therapy sort of what it takes to retain patients in the care process with a full-on integration with an EMR, and then how can you most effectively take those physical therapy patients, the ones who are most satisfied, and utilize them to grow.
What are the biggest EMRs that you are integrated with at this time?
So, if kind of true integrations with WebPT and Source Medical, and then what we've done is you can kind of take an Excel spreadsheet that you're pulling, like any report from other EMRs, like Clinicient and Hands-On Technology and MW Therapy, and there are a few others that I'm probably forgetting, and upload them right into our system. So it's essentially an integration. It's as simple as just downloading a report and uploading it into our system.
Gotcha. So back to the HIPAA compliant thing. How do you, because it's very gray in my opinion, but how do you view using somebody's email to send them things? Do you make people sign saying that's okay? How do you exclude them from the list if they don't sign? Things like that's, I mean, right down to the details, but that's always been something that I've considered when I've been looking at these kind of softwares.
Sure. So what we have is really, we have this clinical tool, right, that patient portal that the patient can log into and communicate with their therapist. They can log in and communicate either on a computer or a smartphone or a tablet. And all like one-to-one communication. So if a patient's logging in and shooting you a message, Joe, they have to do it by logging in and sending that message, right? It's not just like, hey, I'm texting you. So all communication right. is secure and private. Now, all these other messages that we're sending to patients based on different demographic information that we're collecting from the EMR doesn't contain sort of truly HIPAA. It doesn't have any patient health information in it. Does that make sense? Like the actual automated emails that we're sending.
Right. Okay. So yeah. Right. You're not sending anything, any documents through those.
Exactly.
You're not correct. Sending their evaluations or any notes or anything like that.
Right. All of those things can be sent securely into the patient portal that the patient can then log into and have access to that data.
Okay. Very, very good. I completely understand that. I just, that's to me, that is part of what sets you apart. Because yeah. you understand what HIPAA is and what makes our industry different than the people that are in sales with Infusionsoft right. who don't care what kind of information they share or send. So
right, exactly. And like you know, to be perfectly honest, HIPAA itself is very much a gray area, right? I mean, HIPAA compliance is essentially do everything you can to be HIPAA compliant is what HIPAA says, right? They don't give you these concrete things that you can do. They just say, do as much as you can to be HIPAA compliant. So by definition, there's a huge gray area that you just have to make sure that you're accounting for.
It's the pirate code of healthcare, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's just guidelines.
Yep.
but don't start breaking HIPAA guidelines just because I said that.
No.
Yeah, very cool. So let's play out a scenario, right? I want to put this big picture together because I'm putting it together in my mind, and it sounds really cool. So let's say I'm a patient, and I walk in to a clinic, and I fill out my paperwork, and I sit down. The physical therapist comes in, grabs me, you know, says blah blah blah. My name's Dr. Joe. Come on in, and we do, you know, the whole thing and the treatment and everything. And I'm getting ready to leave, and Joe says, "Hey, we have this cool software called Strive Hub. You're gonna get an email from them, and you might get some exercises and things like that." And I say, "Okay, great." And then I walk out, and before I get home, there's an email waiting for me with an update of saying, you know, this is what you did, these are the exercises, things like that. Is that how it plays out usually?
Yeah, and I think that's one piece. And, you know, when we started, you know, when we had first started, when we were talking, really, we talked about what we did when we started Strive Hub, right? The first questions you asked was like in college, and I was talking about the patient portal. At this point, we've sort of gone a little bit bigger too. And really, the whole idea is certainly that piece, right? Clinically, a clinician can prescribe exercises through our platform and give patients access to those exercises. Patients can track their progress. But really, the whole idea is I want to give clinic owners the tools that they need to effectively grow. So what we can do is monitor patient engagement in really a meaningful way. So one of the big some of the data that we've collected, we've actually looked at, you know, about 30,000 pieces of claims data in physical therapy. And what we wanted to see was, is there a retention problem in physical therapy? And what we found was, yeah, about 20% of patients are dropping out in the first few visits. So for us, that's astounding, right? And that's a huge churn problem. So patients are dropping out early. And for us, we want to be able to deliver value early on and then proactively be able to kind of start to show who might be at a higher risk of dropping out. So again, that clinical piece is one side of it, but there's also a second side of it that is called Strive Hub Reach. And it's very much like Infusionsoft, where you can set up these automated rules based on the demographic, diagnostic and other information that we're grabbing from the EMR and make sure that patients are receiving the most valuable information to them, the most relevant information at different points in the care delivery process, right? So we can make sure that patients with back pain are receiving, you know, specific information about that low back pain a day or two after care. We can make sure that we are sending, you know, net promoter questions to monitor satisfaction and monitor the patient experience. If somebody scores low on that net promoter question, we will alert the clinic and let them know that somebody is unhappy with care, and so that the clinic can then run intervention, right? They can say, "Oh, crap. You know, Gene came in, he gave us a 2 a week and a half in. I need to go reach out to this person and rescue them in an effective way," right? So it's much bigger sort of than just the home exercise and the clinical tool.
WebPT is the ultimate EMR for physical therapy. You know that. One of the reasons is because they know ICD-10, and I don't. So I ask Heidi Janenga, COO of WebPT. Heidi, what the heck is ICD-10?
Well, ICD-10 is diagnosis codes on steroids. We're talking more than 68,000 codes. All HIPAA-covered entities must switch to ICD-10 on October 1st, 2015, or face claim denials. That's where WebPT can help. Our intuitive ICD-10 code selector is built right into our documentation platform, thus simplifying the patient diagnosis process. I encourage all of you to check it out. Visit webpt.com/podcast to request a free online demonstration.
So it sounds like the real value of your company, or at least what you really offer and scale on, is data analytics that you kind of push through different variables and then you create these metrics for the clinics versus just kind of a front end pretty platform and send emails and exercises and things like that. What you're building, I think, and sounds like what you're really aiming for in the future is a lot more complex algorithm than just a front end piece of, you know, visual on dashboard or whatever it is.
Exactly. And that's, you know, what we always say. We say, you know what, if you're going to affect retention, right? So if you are going to get patients to not drop out of care early, if you are going to get them to buy into the care process, you need to have the data at hand to proactively monitor that engagement and be able to understand, you know, okay, this guy's fine, he's doing great, and this guy's not doing so well, right? He hasn't logged in, he scored low on a survey. I want to alert the therapist, I want to alert the clinic manager, and I want to be able to run an effective intervention.
And by the way, I gave Joe a 2 on the NPS because he didn't stretch my calf enough and just didn't massage my leg enough. So,
and the Easton feels good, and he skipped out on it.
Yeah, and the ultrasound gel was cold. He didn't heat it up. So
right.
That's why, Joe, get on it.
All right. So when you send these surveys, they're able to be sent at different points. You can customize everything, or is it all default?
Fully customizable, right? And we certainly work with each of our customers to like help them understand what's worked in the past with our other customers. But yeah, it's as simple as it's sending the right message, right patient, right time. So you could say, I want to send survey number 1 5 days after care, or 2 weeks, or 3 years, and it'll automatically send to either all of your patients or just your back pain patients, whatever filters you choose.
Let's say somebody comes in for care, and you want to send a survey after after their fourth visit. Does it track visits in the systems that you integrate with, obviously?
So we pull in visit data. That's actually something that we're working towards. So we can say this patient has come into 3 visits, but right now we can't say send this after the 3rd visit. It's usually days after initial evaluation, or days after discharge date, or days after they submitted a survey, those types of things.
So if a clinic signs up for Strive Hub and wants to work with Strive Labs, let's say, what if something goes wrong? If they have issues, if they have questions, how does the customer service piece of your company work? Is that fully fleshed out? Is that still a work in progress? How do you go about that?
So it's pretty fully fleshed out. I mean, we have support at strivelabs.com, which is a great email that you can utilize to send an email if you need to. But we also we leverage Intercom. Intercom is a really cool application that allows us to understand who's utilizing our platform the right way. So we definitely track data a ton too, and it provides a communication platform within our app where people can reach out to us in a really easy way, and we can answer any questions right within the app. We can push messages into the app when someone logs in. So we can say, hey, look at these new features, click here, do this. That's really how we manage our customer support.
Very nice. So you said you guys are planning on scaling and growing, which means sales and really selling your product and your service and you to a lot of clinics. So what is your strategy for sales? How do you pitch something like this? So let's say you have an audience right now listening. Let's say hypothetically it's more than 10 people. What would you say to pitch them in the most genuine way possible?
Well, so, I mean, the strategy that we've used to pitch people is the same way that we go about providing value for our customers, right? What we do is we leverage our most satisfied customers to grow. And that's exactly what we do for physical therapy clinics, right? So on the back end, really what we can do is identify your most satisfied customers and show you some really, really important trends over time where you can start to look at how each therapist is doing in terms of the patient experience based on their neck patients versus their low back patients. You can look at how each clinic is doing from a net promoter standpoint. And then you can make sure that the most satisfied customers at your clinic, either the day after discharge or the week after discharge, are, you know, filling out a review online and driving your search engine optimization up to the top so that when people are searching for you, they find you quicker. You can get more direct access referrals that way. And also just staying in contact with the patients after they leave the clinic and being able to, you know, kind of effectively leverage those different tools to grow.
You know what I think would be interesting? Well, and Joe, you pitch in. Let me know if you think this would be interesting. If, you know, Strive Hub somehow integrates, and the reason I say this would be interesting to Joe is because he's a clinic owner. If Strive Hub somehow makes, let's say, Joe's Active Life and Sports clinic, his other PTs better at selling the service, because I think that's still a big issue, is that a lot of PTs are not very comfortable at saying, oh, great, you had a great experience. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, or, you know, really, really selling when you're out and about. So if there's some kind of integration, let's say one of his PTs are on the Strive Hub dashboard to really help them by showing them certain metrics, by giving them certain cues that are supported by the metrics. Oh, this therapist said this and this, and this is the outcome that they got based on that. Is something like that possible?
Yeah. We have a kind of fully stacked, what we call a net promoter dashboard. And what we can do is, like I just said, for each therapist, we can break down how their patients are experiencing care based on different diagnoses. So essentially we can say, hey, you know, Jim Smith is really good at connecting with his neck pain patients, but he's got really bad scores with low back pain patients. You know, let's use this as an educational tool to let him know that and start talking to him about, hey, how are you approaching these types of cases? And, you know, what are you doing that, you know, is kind of leading to these poor scores? We also, you know, those are global trends, but we can also, from a one-to-one basis, say, hey, look, you know, a patient came in and scored you a 2, and the comments they left was just saying that you didn't care about them and you didn't connect with them on the first visit. You know, what's that all about? You know, what kind of happened? So, yeah, it's a tool that we want to give clinic owners the ability to track trends, but we also want them to be able to very actionably be able to talk to their therapists and improve the way that each one is interacting with their patients.
I think that's a great thing, because you can't be everywhere, and you certainly aren't seeing all of the conversations and all of the interactions, and it's important to be able to have data that you can start a conversation with, and to be able to track trends, and it's hard to do. In most EMRs, I would say that most EMRs I've found, you know, which, you know, think about where their priorities are. Their priorities are getting the documents together and where they need to be on time. I mean, that's the purpose of the EMR. But the whole suite of management tools, I think, gets overlooked very often. So I do think that there's definitely room for the Strive Hub product, you know, I'm certainly interested in seeing a little bit more about what you have to offer. If people are interested like me, what can they do to get a closer look at your product?
So they can head to strivehub.com, kind of look through the website if they want. But what I would really suggest doing is hitting the button says get started. And then a big picture of me pops up and it allows you to put in some information and schedule a demo. And really, I mean, the demo is just me showing you exactly how the platform works. And kind of answering questions. So that's one thing. The second thing is there's actually a video that we just pushed out to YouTube that kind of breaks down that net promoter dashboard that I was talking about. So if you wanted to take a look at that first to kind of see that one piece of the platform, you can do that. And I'm sure you guys can link to that as well on the podcast page, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. So those would be the two big things.
Very cool.
Talk to us about pricing structure before we wrap up here. What is it per therapist? Is it on a clinic basis? What are you doing per patient?
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to align exactly with the value that we bring. So every patient that comes through the system, we're looking to have an impact on that patient, and we're looking to kind of leverage that patient to grow. So we price per patient, and we have different tiers based on the amount of patients that are coming through the system. Meaning if you're a small clinic, you're probably going to be paying about $150 per month. Whereas, you know, people who have 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 patients will be more in our enterprise segment, paying a bit more than that. But we start at $150 a month for the entire platform.
Sounds pretty fair.
And that's so that can be used across multiple PTs, multiple clinics, based on the number of visits or the number of patients that you see.
Correct. And it's unlimited therapists, unlimited locations. It's just unique patients. So again, same thing. Like what we're looking to do is we're looking to get repeat patients through the door. So when a patient comes back into the system, we don't count them as a new contact. That's the same Jim Smith as before. It's unique patients through the system to help a clinic grow.
All right. A couple more questions for you before we let you go. First,
sure.
Where did the name come from?
So, kind of an interesting story. We started out with our home exercise program, and it was called Theravid, and we were Theravid Incorporated. And we started running into this problem where even as we were building this new software, we would say, "Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm from Theravid," and people would just kind of give you that Theravid therapy videos. I know what you do, and it was a struggle for us. And so eventually, we really have to step back and think about where we were going as a company. And we thought of, you know, we were trying to think of a lot of different names and a lot of different things. And we really love the idea of Strive more because, you know, both, I mean, what we're trying to do is we are striving to help physical therapy clinics kind of push themselves into the forefront of healthcare and be sort of those that primary care provider for musculoskeletal disease. I think that's really the driving force behind our company. And I think, you know, patients, if they're getting better in physical therapy, it's not an easy thing. They're striving. And we kind of talked and we really like the kind of play on that word. So that's where we land on with Strive Labs and then Strive Hub as the platform.
Very nice. I think that's a critical component that I think a lot of people don't really spend enough time on is the name of your company and making it part of you and your culture and, you know, describing what you do based on your name sometimes, like you said, is not the right way to go because in the moment it seems right, but you're just kind of pigeonholing yourself without really thinking about scaling and where you're going to grow. So based on scaling and where you want to grow, you're obviously an entrepreneur and we talked about on the previous podcast, actually several times, it's being in business and being an entrepreneur are not the same things. Having a startup and having a business are not the same things. Having a lifestyle business and having a startup are not the same things. So obviously you are in a startup mode. You're trying to scale aggressively. For our listeners, and we have a lot of DPT student listeners, if you had to give one piece of advice for somebody that's really an entrepreneur that's willing to risk it all to build a big scaling startup, what would you say? One piece of advice from your personal experience, not the stuff that you always hear and you know think that gets thrown around all the time, but we know it's a lot of hard work. We know it's you probably won't be making money for a couple of years, but from your experiences, if you had to give something, what would you say?
Yeah, fall in love with a problem. Don't fall in love with a solution. Your solution is not the end all be all. If you fall in love with your software, you're very unwilling to change it. Fall in love with the problem and aggressively go out and try to solve that problem any way that you can.
I think it's pretty good advice. A lot of times people work for a solution. They don't really consider the problem. And the problem's always there, right? But there's always a lot of solutions for the same problem.
Right.
Got to be able to pivot.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Awesome, Ryan. Well, thanks for joining us, man. Again, if you want to check out Strive Labs and Strive Hub, where can people find it? Where can they find you if they have questions? They want to reach out to you specifically, anything like that?
Ryan at strivelabs.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at rklepsdpt. Or you can just shoot us all an email at hello@strivelabs.com. That'll hit all of us.
That's cute.
Indeed.
Joe, any final closing thoughts, questions, comments, concerns?
I love that. Fall in love with the problem. Because I think that that makes you focused on all the different areas, not just the one solution that hits you first or that is your first thought. And I think that when you do that, you eventually work and get to a better end product or solution in the long run. So, Ryan, I appreciate you informing us and taking you through what you can offer for any other clinic owners out there. And I definitely would like to take you up and on that and get a demo. So good luck with your with your growth.
Sounds good, man. I really appreciate it.
And it's always cool. It's always fun to talk with other entrepreneurs and see the true potential that we have as physical therapists that aren't necessarily always in the clinic. And it's always a hard concept for a lot of people, you know, when you go to school for closer to a decade, and then you decide that you want to venture out and not really see patients. It's really hard. You know, it's hard, not necessarily for the people doing it, but for people that you're telling that you're going to be doing it. And I think that is in a lot of fields and a lot of perspectives. People like comfort, people like bubbles. And when you do something outside of a norm or a typical bubble, it's hard, but like-minded people, I think, always gravitate towards each other. And, you know, listening to your story, Ryan, is something that I've heard a lot of times. Not the same, but the theme, the concepts. And, you know, one of my pet peeves is people always tell me they're passionate. And I don't think it's something you say. I think it's something that comes through and something that you really can anticipate and feel in a conversation with somebody. And you can definitely hear the passion for, the problem, not so much the actual product that you sell, which I think is what really will make you successful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So as always, thanks for listening. Please check us out, updocmedia.com. Again, all the comments, reviews, tweets, the conversations are always awesome that we get on Twitter, on our Facebook page. Reviews are always very much appreciated. So check us out on iTunes. Check out Therapy Insiders, Strength Out Podcast, Running Story, and Business, Baseball, and Bourbon with Jerry Durham. All those are pumping out new episodes. Jerry will be coming out with some new episodes really soon. And we look forward to letting us know, you know, what more do you want to hear? What topics do you want to know about? Do you want to hear more clinical stuff, more business stuff? We'll be focusing on both anyway, but if anything in specific, let us know. So for all of us, for Joe and Urson, let us know, and we look forward to hearing you again.